Okay, tonight we are going to be in chapter 13 of Judges. I realize we jumped over Abimelech and Jephthah, and we will mention them just a little bit, but let's ask a blessing on his word. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. Lord, we throw that phrase around, we think about it occasionally, but thank you. Thank you for loving me. Lord, bless your word tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Yeah, I jumped over a few chapters because Abimelech, he was one that wasn't divinely chosen. He more or less talked about, and he was one of those sons of Gideon that he kind of said, hey, let's do this, and he ends up killing all of his brothers or stepbrothers or combined of both, so that they couldn't be king, and it didn't work out for him in the long run. And then Jephthah was another that wasn't really divinely selected, where God came to Gideon and called him out. And here we're going to find out, we're going to read, and we're going to start about with the birth of Samson tonight. And Samson is one of those guys that we always hear about when he was, how strong he was and everything. And we know, those of us that know the scripture, know that he was not a very moral person. He just made decisions based on what he wanted. And we see that. And sometimes when I think about all that he did and all the things that his life went through because of the choices he made and how God chose to use him even before he was born, and then with his choices, God still used him as... I don't know of any other word to say, and it sounds terrible, but as bad as he was, as messed up and as broken as he was, God still chose to use him. And that gives me hope. I mean, honestly, if all we ever read about in the Bible were perfect people, then we would get so discouraged. But just to see how God is going to use Samson in the midst of a terrible broken world. He used a broken person that really didn't even have his head on straight a lot of times. So let's start in this in chapter 13. It says, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, if you go back and you do all the math, and I didn't, I read someone else's work basically, but that 40 years went back to Jephthah and even partially into possibly Abimelech. And so the leaders, a lot of times we read in Judges that when the leader died, when the person that God brought to that point, when they were alive, everything was pretty decent. But then when they died, Israel went back and did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Well, if you do the math, the last two or so of those leaders, for sure Jephthah, they were obviously doing evil while he was alive, while he was in charge. And now God had delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. So now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And I know they always looked on it in those times that if a person, you know, if a woman was barren, it was something was wrong with their family, something, you know. But if you look throughout the Bible, all of them that were barren, at a certain time, God took care of it, and that person came at that child was born at the perfect time. And so what sometimes we as humans see and say is a problem, God says, no, you just don't know my timing. And so they used the word barren in that case because they thought something was wrong when God is saying, no, it's just not the time I'm ready to work. And so when we see sometimes things not going right, we call it a problem. But the problem is we're not waiting on God. And so Manoah and his wife, they were barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. And so this is, again, she's in the middle of this nation of people that have done evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Philistines are constantly there causing trouble for 40 years, and God picks out this woman, and he says that you're going to bear a son. As we look at this, there's a lot of things that are going on. Manoah, we assume, probably is a man of God. We don't know, even know his wife's name. We know they're from a town that was from the tribe of Dan, and most of the tribe of Dan at this point had left and kind of walked away and moved on, but they were part of the group that stayed. And so the angel of the Lord that comes to them, they believe this is what they call a theophany. In other words, it was the pre-incarnate Christ had come down and in the form of an angel or man, whatever you want to call it. He came down, and because Manoah actually thinks he's a man when he sees him, but we'll get into that in just a minute. But anyway, he comes down, and he's the angel of the Lord, and he talks to her and tells her that she's going to bear a son. It says, now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now there's a lot in that verse right there, and so let's kind of pick it apart. First of all, most Nazarite vows were temporary. This is the only one listed in the Bible that was long-term. It was his whole life. It wasn't just a Nazarite vow which would last just so a couple years or 1 year or so many months. It was a vow that God had said would be his life, his lifelong vow. And so we understand that, you know, we've always heard, well, he was a Nazarite. We read he couldn't cut his hair, he couldn't have any strong drink, and all these things. But don't miss this. He was a Nazarite from birth, but God said to Manoah's wife, you need to keep yourself pure in order for your son to be pure. To me, that just jumped out at me the past 2 weeks, because so many times, yeah, we know that we're the ones supposed to teach our children the good, that raise them in the admonition of the Lord, and we're supposed to teach them right from wrong, and we're supposed to encourage them, and we're supposed to discipline them. But the best way for her to make sure that her son was able to keep this vow was for her to keep the vow first. If she didn't keep the vow, there was no chance of her son keeping the vow. If we don't keep the vow first, our kids are going to see it. Our kids are going to be affected by it. Now, maybe not in the same sense as this, where she's taking it into her body and it's going. But what we believe, and your kids and my kids are out of the house. So we think, well, we had that window until they were 18, 19, whatever, to do this. No, it doesn't stop. Just because they're out of the house does not mean that you do not have an influence on them. If my kids see me take things of God's word, things that God has called me to do, and they see me take it as nonchalant and just a part of life, then that's what they're going to do. I'm 61 years old. Nathan's 32. He lives in another state. We talk on the phone every week, and he will ask me questions. This is what I'm going through. My daughter called me this week and said, I want to run something by you. She's 27 years old. She wants to run something by me. And neither one of these two conversations were biblical conversations. They just wanted to know how I would react in this situation. What would I do? And I think as I read this, what I do still affects my kids. Manoah's wife, the angel says, please be careful. That's a term we throw off pretty easy. We just kind of pitch it out there. But he says, now therefore, because you're going to bear this son, therefore, please be careful to keep this vow. And you can go to Numbers, I think it's chapter 6, somewhere around verse 2, 3, right in there, where it actually gives what the vow of being a Nazirite was. But we've got to be careful. We can't just assume everything's going to be okay. We have to take care, make every decision, make everything we do, knowing that we always say people are always watching. You know, non-Christians are always watching what you do. Nobody watches more closely what you do than your children. Be careful. Because it only takes one mess up. And yes, Josh and Nathan and Hannah have to make their own choices. But I need to be careful so that they see that I am going to do everything I possibly can to follow God's vows. I'm going to be careful. That's what He calls us to do. Because He tells her to be careful. And He tells her what, why. Because of him being a Nazirite from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. I'm sure she had heard the history of how God had used Gideon and other judges to deliver Israel out of the hands of the enemy. And then she hears this. He's going to begin the deliverance. So it's not going to end. And as I think about that, and I stand here and I read that, I think, well, you know, if I'm not going to get to complete the job, I can't finish it. So why doesn't he use somebody else? Well, we know what's going to end up happening, but she hadn't read the book. And so he says that your son is going to begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. It's got to begin somewhere, is what I'm getting at. Man, if I can't finish, we've been talking about finishing the race in men's Bible study, run the race with perseverance, you know, throw off everything that hinders you. We've been talking about that, and we talked about striving in such a way that we win that prize, those type of things. And sometimes, if I had to run a cross-country race and they said, okay, it's 6 miles, this guy wouldn't even start because I know I couldn't finish it. And sometimes that's the way we are spiritually. We don't want to start something that we're pretty sure we can't finish. But here, he says, you got to start somewhere, and I'm going to start with your son. Verse 6 says, so the woman came to told her and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Okay, so she realizes that this is not just a man. She realizes this is a man came to her, is what she calls it, but his countenance was that of an angel. Very awesome. Man, here she is, and she gets this message that God says, you're no longer going to be barren. You're going to receive a son. This is your instructions. And she goes to tell her husband, she says, it was awesome. But I didn't ask him his name or where he was from. She was so caught up in who he was that that never crossed her mind. It didn't matter. Man, he had the countenance of an angel. It's awesome. And then here in verse 8, then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. I've heard this so many times, and I've even thought it myself. Did Manoah not believe his wife? Or did Manoah just think, okay, God, you're going to have to tell me? I don't think it's that case. I think it's the idea that if we read that verse, Manoah says, let the man of God whom you sent come to us again. Not because he wanted to see the miraculous man. He didn't want, oh, I heard it's awesome. I want to see him. He said, let him come again and teach us what we shall do. His wife had already said, well, this is what we're supposed to do. I'm not supposed to eat or drink anything. The baby's going to be a Nazarite from birth until death. That wasn't enough. Manoah wanted to know, what's my duty? It's not the idea of understanding or seeing all these things, but he said, God, come and tell me what I'm supposed to do. What's my duty? And the more we desire to know what duty God has for us, the more God will reveal himself to us. Because when Manoah says, come and tell me what to do. Think of the pressure this guy's got. Angel comes to his wife and says, you're going to bear a son, and he is going to begin the deliverance from the hand of the Philistines. And she goes and tells her husband. It's like, oh my goodness, what pressure. You got it easy. You just don't drink any of this, don't eat any of this, and we got to raise this kid right. We've got to do what's right from the time he's born all the way through his life. But when we desire to know God's will, which is what Manoah is doing, teach us what we should do for the child who will be born. God listened, verse 9, to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. So God answered Manoah's prayer. Come and teach us how we're supposed to take care of this child. And so God sends the angel back. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. So Manoah may have been thinking, could have been thinking, okay, the guy come back, but I wasn't there. Why won't he show up when I'm not there? When I'm there, he shows up when I'm not there. He could have said that, but instead, Manoah rose and followed his wife, and when they came to the man, he said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am." There's a lot in that "I am," because I believe that's him telling us, not only "I am the man," but "I am," because I believe he was the pre-incarnate Christ. And Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. What will the boy's rule of life and his work? Tell us what you want us to do." It's not enough that you speak to us. It's not enough that you come to us. Lead us, guide us, tell us what we're supposed to do. And Manoah's desire to get it right. Hey, come back and tell us what to do. Okay, he's here. Okay, now that you're here, tell us what to do. Let your words come to pass. What will be the rule of the boy's life and his work? What do we need to do? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I have commanded her, let her observe." Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you." Tells us a little bit more about Manoah here, because he's assuming this is a man. A man sent from God, yes, but a man. And when he says, "Let us detain you," he's basically saying, "Stay here with us and have a meal with us." So he actually is picturing him as just a man. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord." For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. He just comes out there and he sees this person that looks like a man. His heart is right. He wants to know everything that he's supposed to do. But he's so caught up on the things that he is supposed to do. Okay, what's the rule of the boy's life? What else we do? What work is he going to get into? I want to make sure that I'm doing all of this right. And his focus is good and positive. But remember what happened when the wife saw God the first time, or the angel of the Lord the first time? It was awesome. Had the appearance of an angel. It's the same man, the same angel of the Lord. And Manoah is so focused on doing the right things that he's missing the awesome. He's so focused on doing the right things, getting all the right things down, and he's wanting to make sure he doesn't mess up. He's so focused on that that he's missing out on the appearance of an angel. So Manoah says in 17, he said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?" Again, he's still thinking he's a man. He's not thinking about the name of God. He's thinking about, "What's your name?" So that when all this happens, hey, this man of God named Bill, he come and told us this was going to happen. No, he's focused on the here and now and getting it all right, and he's missing out on the angel of the Lord. He's missing out on the fact that the presence of God is right there. But because he's so focused on doing good things, he's missing out on God. How many times do we do that? We want to do right, and that's a good thing. We want to make sure we're living the way we're supposed to live and following God's rules. But sometimes we can be so religious in doing the things God calls us to do that we miss out on God. That's a scary thought. But I've been there, I've done that. I know what that's like. Man, I just want to do what's right. I want to be where I'm supposed to be. I want to help who I'm supposed to help. And God's like, "Hey, you can't do any of that without me. You can focus on doing so good that you miss out on God." That's kind of where Manoah was at. So the angel of the Lord says, you can detain me. In other words, I'll stay here, but I won't eat. He's trying to tell him that I'm not a man that needs food. So you take that food and offer it to God is basically what he's saying. And so Manoah says, well, what's your name? And we can give you honor. And the angels of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? Why are you worried about my name when what is here is just, it's wonderful. There's no way to explain. That's kind of a translation that some of the commentaries have. It's beyond explanation. I can't even tell you my name. It's so wonderful. And he's still not getting it. And 19 says, so Manoah took the young goat, with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up towards heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. Wow. Think of that. Manoah thought this was just a man, and he puts the food out on this altar, and the fire comes up, and it consumes it. And not only that, the angel of the Lord ascended into the flame. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. I think that's the first time Manoah realized, wait a minute, this was not some man. He just ascended up into heaven in the flames. But it says they fell with their faces to the ground, obviously realizing they had been in the presence of God. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. In other words, the pre-incarnate Christ. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. Now that was the rule, that was the understanding. And other people in the Old Testament, you saw the face of God, then you were going to die. That's what God hit him in the cleft of the rock, and different times in the Bible, you just couldn't see the face of God because you just couldn't handle it. God says you would die. Manoah understood the power of God. He said, we'll surely die because we have seen God. It just sunk into Manoah. Everything that had taken place, the coming and seeing his wife, the telling her what to do, the coming back, yes, he knew he prayed and he asked for it and it happened, but he thought it was a man, and he's ready to make this offering, and all of a sudden he realizes it's God, and all he goes back to is what he knows is that if you see God, you're going to die. Went back to just the rules that he knew took place if you saw God. The common sense came from the wife. Hate to say that, but that happens a lot, okay? At least in my house, that happens more than the other way around. But his wife said to him, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted our burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. So he's saying, if God's going to tell you something and he's going to want you to do something, you're going to conceive, you're going to live this way, you're going to raise this boy, nah, I'm just going to kill you now. She used common sense to realize that they were blessed enough to see God, which reinforced what God had already told her. All of these things, what the angel of the Lord had told them and shown them, all these things at this time, God had shown her, and he put the exclamation point on when they offered those sacrifices, those offerings, grain offerings, and burnt offerings. When that happened, she knew that everything she heard was going to take place. 24, it says, so the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahanadan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Samson, as this young man, he's born. His mom had done everything she was supposed to do according to the Nazarite vow. She followed it. When the child was born, it says the child grew and the Lord blessed him. As he grew, he was blessed in the things God endowed him with, the graces and the gifts of mind and body which were necessary to do the work that he set before him. Now think about that just for a minute. Here's this baby, and God begins, he's born, just like he said, and he begins to bless him. He blesses him, we know, with strength. He blesses him with wisdom. He doesn't always use it, but he blesses him with wisdom and strength, and he gives him everything he needs to do what he's called him to do. We need to understand that when God calls us to do something, he's going to equip us to do it. He blessed him as a child, and he grew, and he was blessed. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. The Spirit of the Lord doesn't just move upon us. It moves in us. He dwells in us. As Christians, the Holy Spirit indwells us. We are blessed to do everything He calls us to do. There are times when it just seems like I don't get it. God's like, hey, I'm right here in front of you telling you what to do, and I'm so focused sometimes on doing the things that I know are good that I'm missing out on God. But for us, we need to understand some of the things that happened with Samson's parents are the same things we need to realize that God wants to make sure we understand. And that is the influence you have on your children. I don't care how old you are. This here, the baby's not even born yet. But how much influence did they have after the baby was born? Still had influence. You know, Samson's going to make his choices. We'll get into those in the next few weeks, that type of deal. But the bottom line is, don't ever forget the influence you have on your children. If you want to have influence on your grandchildren, have influence on your children. Manoah desired to hear from God himself. He could have just took what she said as, oh, well, that's great. Wonder when this is going to happen. But he went to God saying, I want to know more myself. And the angel of the Lord came back. We need to make sure that our desire, yes, what he heard from her was correct. What you hear from someone else may be correct. But don't be satisfied to hear some from what somebody else says. Go to him and say, God, come and tell me more. God, I want to know more. And when God shows up, make sure you're ready to meet him. Go to meet him. And Manoah went with his wife to meet the angel of the Lord. Be willing to do everything he asks us to do. And understand that when he equips us, when he calls us, he's going to equip us. He's going to bless us. He's going to indwell in us. We know everything that's going to happen. Probably most everybody in here knows what's going to happen. We've read this story before about Samson, but it all starts right here on how they received God's message. What takes place this next week may have a lot to do with what message God gives you in your devotion, in your quiet time, in your Bible reading, whatever you want to call it, in your praise time. God may use that to affect or draw or encourage someone else. It may change a lot of things later on, but how we react when God's word, when God's message is brought to us the first time, why put it off? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, just for the opportunity to open it up, for you to speak to us, to show us what it is you have for us. Lord, may we never be satisfied with what we know. May we never be content to think we know enough. Lord, open our hearts and our minds. We want to see Jesus. We thank you and praise you. In his name we pray. Amen.